after the kids, I moved into post-production because the hours, I mean, I say they're a bit better, but more recently, there's a lot of work, basically, which is a good, which mustn't complain about that, but there's a lot. And so I work on, I worked on a lot of shows like Friday Night Dinner and Motherland and things like that in post-production. But I have my own writing and my own script development stuff. So I recently worked on a little E4 thing that was out last year. And do you know what? On the spot, I've totally forgotten the what they ended up calling it because they renamed it. That's ridiculous.
What did you call it?
Hang on. My mind has gone totally blank. I can't believe that's happened. What was the E4 show you worked on? I've no idea. It was called How to Become a Grown-Up.
Right.
It's called How to Become a Grown-Up. And it was a series of a couple, like they're a couple of minutes each, little shorts. And it was for teenagers, basically. And it was teenage stories, kind of Gen Z stories, about life as a teenager in 2022. And that was a really interesting process. We sort of looked at all their, they also like monologues in, and then, you know, we scripted them and you know, so I was around for the start and the development process for that. So I do bits and pieces like that as well. And I work with a couple of directors in the very difficult world of British independent film. We're trying to get some funding for some for a project called Lost Soul, and we're getting there, and we were hoping to film it this summer. Which is why I'm doing I'm not going to Edinburgh this year because I thought it would clash, but I'm having a really lovely time doing all the other fringes. And actually, who wants to go to Edinburgh anyway? You can come to Morecambe. So
exactly.
No one can wait till next year. So I think that'll be filming later in the year now anyway. But yeah, so it's good. So I feel a bit jack of all trades. But variety is the spice of life.
Yeah. So why It's All Gravy then? Or why the performing? Have you always wanted to be a performer? Has it been a secret ambition? Or have you thought... Has it been through your work on Italian? You've gone, you know what, I can do better than that.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Went with far better people than me. But I started off, I suppose, always wanting to act and just be the centre of attention, like most comedians do, although equally very socially awkward people. I didn't study drama at uni, I did English, but I did a lot of drama before then, and plays and stuff like that. And I think everyone was slightly shocked, including my husband. We've been married about 11 years when I went, oh, do you know what, I've always wanted to do stand-up. He's like, have you? What? Who are you?
Pardon, darling.
And I remember booking the gig with a company called Funny Women, and it was a brilliant for any other sort of female comedians out there, the brilliant organization. It just meant it was a really supportive way to do your first gig. And I remember booking it 3 weeks in advance and on the day thinking, why did this feel like a good idea back then? And I turned up and had a wonderful time. I don't know if the audience did, but I had the time of my life. And I got the bug, and that was it. I've been delighting or disappointing audiences ever since. So it's great fun.
how long ago was that, the first gig?
So 7 years.
Wow, okay.
But obviously two of those are COVID years, so I don't know if you count them or not.
Yeah, well, there's been lots of new material coming out over the last couple of years. Yeah.
The show I'm doing, It's All Gravy, was meant to go to Edinburgh in 2020. But of course, it's still never been. So, and I don't know if it'll ever go now, because I think by next year it'll be, or I would have rewritten it so much it would have changed quite a lot. I don't know. So it will go, but it'll just be the same show, but same title, different show. I don't know. That's remains to be seen. But you update it as you go along and things happen.
Of course you do. Yeah. Well, you find new material, don't you? I think the brain hates boredom, so it always, if you feel that you've said that joke, whatever, then your brain will rewrite it for you. That's my experience. Right. Sorry, I've had a brain collapse now myself. What on earth was I going to say?
Should I tell you something about my show?
Yeah. Have you done Edinburgh before? That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did a split bill with a comedian called Rachel Wheely, and Rachel and I ran a we also ran a monthly night pre-COVID. Our last show was February 2020. We had to cancel the March one. And we've not got it back up and running yet. And watch the space. It was in London anyway, so probably a bit far to commute. But yeah, but we did a split bill. It was our work in progress for our first hours, and it was called Meet in the Middle, because she is a daughter of a guy that the daughter of a teacher from Eton, so lived there, and I grew up in a very northern working class town on the outskirts of Manchester. So it was just a really nice, completely different experiences of childhood. And that's what my show is. It's about being it's about you know starting life in a working class town. The town's Ratcliffe, which is
All right.
next to Bury near Manchester. And it's about trying to growing up in that town and then trying to get into a middle class profession. And I suppose in a nutshell, that's probably it really. And
Fantastic.
how hard that is, but in ways that people take for granted or don't take, yeah, if you
Oh,
make if,
wow.
don't know if I put that
Yeah, no,
right.
absolutely. I
But
can't wait to see this show. I think, well, the old mantra was there's no war but the class war, and it's certainly been ongoing, but it's a lot more obvious, I think, now.
it's very obvious now. And obviously, you know, I'm I you know I've been in my career for a while now, and it's been going well. But I think in a way that is a good perspective to do the show from, because you don't sound like you're bitter and you're going,
Yeah.
ah, this never worked out for me because of this. It's just like, this is what happened on the way, this is what was tricky, this is why it's tricky, this is what my childhood was like, this is what yours was like. But it is a standard, it is comedy, it's not a political
Yeah.
lecture, it's comedy.
No, absolutely.
Promise to make you laugh.
It sounds as if it's going to be informative and entertaining.
I hope so. And
Yeah.
I've just found my old childhood friend lives in Morecambe, and she just booked a ticket, so that's nice.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant,
I've not
brilliant.
seen her for 20 years, so it'll be fun.
It will. Have you ever been to Morecambe?
Oh, I have. I mean, I grew up a 90-minute drive from there, so we used to
Yeah.
come with grandma and granddad. I used to go on the, what was it, Frontierland?
It's not there anymore. So
No, I know.
yeah, right, see,
With
yeah.
a wooden, it was made of wood, the roller coaster was made of, and I just remember the thing used to wobble like
The
that.
scariest roller coaster in the world. Thank you very, very much indeed. Can't wait to see you. So, Ribs, hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Yes, really good.
Excellent. Ribs Norman. And is right, I'm going to ask you about your first name, Ribs. Is it a nickname? Right. And I'm sure this is what everybody says to
It is, and I really should have made up a better story. But the truth of it is, first day of primary school, somebody shortened my name to, well, I don't know, I think it's a shortening of Rebecca, Rib, Ribs. I think that's it, and it's just stuck.
Right, Ribs. So, Rebecca. Right,
Yeah.
okay, Ribs. You know what? That is the coolest abbreviation of Rebecca that I've come across. It is. It's fantastic. So, you're on the 15th of July,
I am.
and you're doing your show's called The Marriage Masterclass,
That's right,
which is
yeah.
brilliant. And I do know a few people have gone, oh, that's one that I'm coming to. So, tell me about yourself, because this is your first time up at the Morecambe Fringe, anyway.
It is.
And
Well, it's actually my first time going to a fringe festival that I'm not running.
oh, really?
So yes. So yeah,
You've
because
intrigued me. So, what do you run? What fringe festival do you run?
Well, very far away from you, Faversham Fringe down in Kent.
Wow,
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
Faversham Fringe. I've not performed at your fringe
So
festival.
well, please do this year,
Ah.
October, end of October.
Is it end of October?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are your dates?
It's the 25th to the 30th. That's right, yes, I think. Is that right? Well, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. No. Fair enough. 25th to the 30th. So, oh, you're ending on Halloween.
Yes.
I'm
Well.
doing a Halloween show.
Ooh.
I think we're doing. So I work with a mate as well. I think we're doing a Jekyll and Hyde adaptation. for the schools in the area.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be like, yeah, a two-hander sort of, you know, about an hour long when workshops. So it's so boring. I've made it all about me.
That's fine.
Performers, they make it all about themselves. We'll leave that. We can talk about that later. Faversham Fringe, how long have you been running?
I think this is this will be our sixth year, although, you know, there's a couple we didn't count because of this pandemic business.
Yeah, I should have had the fifth Morecambe Fringe last year, and there was no way that I was allowing that to be the fifth Fringe, you know?
We did a mini one last year, just because I didn't want to not do anything, but yeah.
Well, I went online the year before, and then I just didn't bother last year. I thought, wait until everything shakes out, and this is the fifth one, so I'm really looking forward to it. So after 6 years of organizing a fringe, you've decided, wait a minute.
Well, because when I first started doing the Faversham Fringe, I was doing playwriting, but there were comedic plays, and then I just ended up through various means doing stand up. So I have performed stand up at Faversham Fringe, but in like compilation shows. Mm-hmm. And then last year, a couple of my friends were like, "Well, you are putting your own show in, aren't you?" And I was like, "Well, no." So they're like, "Well, you've got to write one. You've got 30 days. Get on with it." So I wrote a show in 30 days, and this is it. So this is the first time I've taken it to other festivals. So yeah, so I'm a newbie, really.
That's wonderful. Oh well, I'll tell you, I mean, obviously I'm going to say this, but we are a really small, friendly, lovely and warm festival. We've got lovely and warm audiences who will appreciate you no end.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, are you going up to Edinburgh? Are you going further afield with it?
I'm not taking the show to Edinburgh, but I'm going up for a week. I've never even been to Edinburgh as a punter, so I'm going for a week. And I, you know, I'm going to do comp shows, but not.
Yeah, yeah. Stick your head above the parapet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
See if I can cope with it, because I don't like lots of people or crowds or noise. So we'll see.
Brilliant. And so your background then, you said playwriting. So tell us about that.
Well, I've always written stuff, and every so often I try and write something sensible and serious, but it always turns comedic. Right. So I'm like, okay, I just write funny. And so I wrote sketches and things, and then I never thought I would perform them.
Right.
Because I'm quite shy. I went to an improv class because I thought that would be a good get out of your comfort zone thing. Mm-hmm. And absolutely loved it and thought, oh, hang on, if I can do this. And so then I did sketch. I did some sketches with a friend. We did a show. And then we had a spot booked, an open spot at a local comedy night. And she decided that suddenly she didn't want to do it anymore. So I just wrote 10 minutes of stand up and did it like in a week. and then that was it. You know, it's like you get hooked immediately. And so that's how I've ended up doing it, really.
And so when was that? When was that?
February 2018, I think, is when that was my first gig.
Wow. Which,
it was terrifying because it was in a packed, like, 100-seater club, proper lights and everything. Me.
Wow. That is a terrifying one.
It was terrifying, but it was good as well, I think, because maybe doing, you know, your first spot in front of six people, maybe that wouldn't have been so immediately, don't know, hooking, you know, but it was like, oh, this is, yes.
Brilliant. So tell us about the show. We'll learn the secrets of marital bliss from thrice wed comedian.
Yes. Well, I started because my friend, like I said, my friend said, write a show. And I'm like, what am I going to write a show about? I've only, you know, because you know what it's like. You've got all bits and pieces that you've been doing, you know, different fives and tens of here and there. And so I was starting off by thinking, oh, I'll just compile it into something and that'll be a show and a theme will come. And then I was just sort of doodling around. And then I thought, well, hang on, what do I know lots about? And then I'm like, well... I do know quite a lot about weddings and marriage. And so, yeah, so then I thought, do I have enough material? And then, yeah, just, I do. So so that's what I thought I would do.
That's just fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, it's not, I've called it Marriage Masterclass, but obviously that is meant to be humorous because I don't think anyone coming to the show is going to come out going, right, I know exactly what to do now. And this is what. Because I might not be an expert. Well, I'm not an expert in perhaps keeping the marriages together, perhaps.
Yeah.
I know what not to do. You know.
Yeah, well, exactly. Through painful experience or actually joyful experience.
Yeah.
It sounds great. I'm really looking forward to the show. Really, really looking forward to the show. Your journey as a comedian, so you come into Morecambe. Is there anywhere else that you've got? I mean, apart from the comp shows at Edinburgh, is there anywhere else that you're booking the show in or looking to book the show?
Yeah, I'm actually doing, just before Morecambe, I'm doing Tunbridge Wells Fringe, which is quite a new one. I think they were first year last year, and because that's Kent, I thought that would be a good one, so I'm going there next week actually.
Nice. Okay,
so far I've sold 2 whole tickets, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Could be amazing.
Oh yeah, this is what they call paying your dues. Just so you know as well, we'll be filming your show.
That's cool.
You'll have like a high quality copy of it, and if it's all right with you, we'll put it out streaming as part of the West End Playhouse Presents.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool.
For North America. Well, I'm a bit dubious about, well, not dubious about comedians. I want to err on the side of caution with comedians. So you should get a video that gives you high quality material that you can use as a showreel or what have you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to putting the stuff out, because you're not known over there, it's one of those things that if a joke's out, it's out, isn't it? If no one knows it was you that did it. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Although it might actually break you to a completely new audience, and that's it. Suddenly you get loads of gigs in America. There are positive ways of looking.
It's worth the risk, I think.
Yeah, it is actually, because I've just remembered what it was I was trying to start a Fringe TV streaming channel through Lot.
Oh, yeah.
So this has been the guy that I was working with, America, who approached me with the idea through another Fringe festival in America. He'd already started saying that the show will be getting put into universities. There's X amount of campuses that he's already signed up with that take this entertainment package, which includes like exhibition computer game playing, which is a thing apparently.
Oh.
But yeah. The life of the kids, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, back in my day, we just used to sit in a field and listen to music. But exactly. But so it's going into all universities, and I did want to have someone over in America to follow up, trying to get gigs for the people that have been on the TV shows, if there's any interest.